Back in January, when Den Bishop's new book came out, The Voter's Guide to Healthcare, a nonpartisan, candid, and relative look at politics and healthcare in America, it seemed timely. The elections were coming up. Healthcare is always a big issue. But by golly, healthcare became a lot bigger issue, you know, along about March, and it has taken off now, and it is front and center. Den Bishop's president of Holmes Murphy, which is a big insurance broker. He heads up employee benefits practice, and he's also a noted author, and he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Great to be with you, David.
So, right, I mean, healthcare is always a big issue, but it's got to have become a much bigger issue in the wake of the pandemic.
Well, you know, we've still got the issue of cost and complexity in health insurance that everyone's experiencing, but we've now added to that COVID and the impact on the healthcare providers and on how this is going to be covered or not covered. And now we've added a pending Supreme Court justice change. So yes, it's the issues are multiplying.
So it's the Affordable Health Care Act under pressure. That's the added pressure.
That is the added pressure, yes. Supreme Court is scheduled to begin hearings on that second week of November in a case where the state of Texas is trying to say that the Affordable Care Act should not be constitutional. So that is what the Supreme Court is going to hear.
You know, on the other hand, thinking about the pandemic, tell me I'm wrong here, but I've talked to so many people that are now so much more concerned about their health and the health of others. And we've had so many people on that have come with sort of breakthrough chemicals that'll clean things. And people seem to be more cognizant of, you know, colds and touching things. Isn't the cost of healthcare likely to come down because of that, with less people getting sick?
You know, that is a great theory, but I'm not sure that the reality, you know, when we look at the cost of healthcare in a population, you know, for a large employer or a group of employers, it's really the catastrophic claims that drive all the costs. We think it's the, you know, trips to the urgent care or the doctor. That's really not it. It's the cardiovascular disease, the complications from diabetes, cancer, premature infants. That's really where the costs are driven and where all the inflation is coming from. And unfortunately, we've seen a slowdown in a whole lot of the smaller things in healthcare, but unfortunately we are not seeing a slowdown in those large case items.
So you need a cure for cancer or something then to
if we could find that, it would be great. There is a clip of Joe Biden years ago in a campaign saying that he was promising a cure for cancer. So maybe that's what we need.
Maybe it's giving us something to look forward to, you know, going forward. Well, let me ask this. The way I understand insurance is that one of the things it does, it spreads out the cost among a lot of people. You have people who never get sick and people who get real sick, and it all kind of equals out. And then I guess you do that among corporations. What happens in a severe contraction like this? We've lost a lot of businesses, a lot of unemployment. Does that drive the cost back up? Less players out there?
You know, it could. What we're seeing right now is with the discretionary care that has been postponed, health insurance companies have record profits this year. So they are giving companies premium holidays. They're doing anything they can right now to try to get some of the money out, because quite frankly, they're making too much. And the Affordable Care Act caps the profit that an insurance company can make. So we are in a season where insurance companies need to give some money back, but they are not lowering their long-term forecast for healthcare inflation. So it's an odd economic situation.
You know, that's true. I mean, I got a rebate from State Farm the other day, I guess, for pretty much the same thing.
It is exactly the same thing. People are not driving as much, so the auto insurers are making too much money, so they're trying to retain customers and give some money back. In health insurance, the Affordable Care Act actually legislatively caps the percentage of profit that a health insurance company can make. So they have to give it back in health insurance.
There also has been a lot of talk this political season about finding a way to drive down the cost of prescriptions. And it seems to be getting some traction. Can that help?
I hope so. You know, there's two things in Congress that I think if you ask any person in Congress independently, should we do anything about surprise bills in healthcare? You know, where you an in-network doctor, an in-network hospital, you go in for a procedure, and all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, you get a massive bill that some non-network provider, you know, provided a service which is largely all your out-of-pocket. That happens all the time. Congress should do something about that, but they're not. The other issue that we have to deal with is prescription drug pricing, because we do in this country pay more for prescription drugs than people in other countries for the vast majority of drugs. And President Trump's executive order on that recently talks about a most favored nation clause where we would pay a competitive price based on what other countries pay. I do think that you will see some action on that within the next probably 2 years, kind of the next session of Congress. But never forget that the pharmaceutical industry is the highest spending industry in the country for lobbying efforts. So they have a big voice to try to prevent some of those things from happening.
You know, again, coming back to the contraction and businesses, I know in past during recessions, we have found out later on that companies have stopped paying payroll tax to conserve cash flow. And, you know, it comes back to bite them. But is this true in healthcare? I mean, that's such a major cost. If companies get in trouble, can they skip their payments?
You know, not without asking permission first. The health insurance companies are being reasonably flexible in terms of trying to work with employers with this, you know, with the giving premium holidays, doing other things. What most folks don't realize is there are far more Americans that are in what are called self-funded health plans, which means the employer is actually directly funding the claims through an insurance company. And in a self-funded situation, there's really no way to delay the payments because the doctor or hospital gets paid and it ultimately comes out of the employer's bank account. So it's really the employer money for most Americans. That's really the way the financing works.
So 4 years from now, will you be writing an updated version of this book? I mean, this is not an issue that's going to go away, is it?
It is not an issue that is going to go away. I hope that I'm not writing another guide. You know, we need to help people, and Congress and the White House, whether it's red or it's blue or some combination, you know, American people need some help. Health insurance is really expensive, and we need to get the cost down. And there needs to be, I believe there needs to be some regulatory help so that it can become more affordable. And I, you know, what I fear in terms of that, and I'm a private enterprise person. I believe that, you know, the consumer and private business should have a meaningful role in healthcare. But if the private system that we have can't address some of these problems, then I do believe that more aggressive government solutions are potentially in our path forward. If you remember, prior to Super Tuesday, Bernie Sanders had the lead for the Democratic nomination. And when Mayor Pete and Amy Klobuchar pulled out of the race, put their support behind Joe Biden, and Bernie Sanders' number one platform was Medicare for All. It was a true government-funded healthcare system. It was very popular among many voters in the Democratic primary. So I think that with whether it's the Trump plan, which is really around trying to get transparency in the markets, or the Biden plan that creates a government plan to compete and try to make private insurance more competitive for that, either one of those has to make progress in solving the cost problems for the American people, or a more aggressive government solution will be in their future.
Well, I, for one, plan to do my part. I have no intention of getting ill over the next 4 years, so there.
That is a great plan.
It's a good read. Den Bishop's book, The Voter's Guide to Healthcare, nonpartisan and candid, just like Den Bishop. It's always good to have you on. Thanks a lot for the time.
Thank you, David.
Thanks for more of our conversation with Mr. Bishop. Go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.